Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, we'll pick up where we were last week. Let's read verse 2 and part of verse 4. "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them," and we'll look at the rest of his answer today. Heavenly Father, please help us today. I pray for myself and everyone listening that the peace and presence of God from heaven would fill their hearts today and give them comfort in all areas of life. No matter what troubles, no matter what troubles, Lord, I know that your Spirit can calm the heart, and I know that your power and providence can fix every problem, heal every disease, take care of every trouble that we have. And Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And like I said, and like we heard last week or whatever, Jesus answered the question of John the Baptist's disciples. But his question is not straightforward as we would think or hope or like. The fact is that Jesus came from heaven. He didn't come from the denomination. He didn't come from religion. He certainly didn't come from government. He didn't come from any of these things, but Jesus came from heaven. And as we know, and as the text today alludes to, he's coming back from heaven. He's coming back from heaven. He's not coming from Baton Rouge. He's not coming from Springfield. Not coming from Nashville. Not coming from Rome. Not coming from any religious center. But he's coming back from heaven. And we know that his word is truth. Truth. Two and two may be four. But the fact that Jesus gave his life on Mount Calvary for the sins of the world, that is truth. It's true. The entire word of God is true. If you want to know, if you got a problem, you want to know the answer, then search the Bible, or Google the Bible, or whatever, but find a passage in the book that addresses your problem. And if you want to say that today we're so far removed from Bible times that it just doesn't apply anymore. You know, we had a coup in the White House just a couple of months ago, whatever. We had Joe Biden, and all of a sudden, oh no, he's pushed aside and we've got Kamala. And we're supposed to believe this and that or whatever. Well, we find in the scriptures these same kinds of things. You got a king and one of the sons wants to be king, and so he kills his father and says, hey, I have the throne now. You've got palace coups back then. You can look in the Gospels that Jesus argued back and forth with the Pharisees and Sadducees because they wanted it their way, and they didn't have any place for him in their theological or religious kingdom. There's nothing new. There's nothing new today. We may have certain events and whatever that we think are strange or new or novel, but honestly, the problems of man today are the same problems that they had 2,000 years ago. So the Bible is ultimately relevant to our world today. But the disciples of John, they had their question, and Jesus had his answer, his way. And he said, hey, you know, go tell John all the things, the lame walk, the dead are raised, etc., etc., all that. Go tell them all of these things. But then Jesus begins to talk about those miracles that were performed in the cities that he frequented most, that knew him most. Many of his great sermons were preached in, what does it say, Chorazin and Bethsaida, Capernaum. These are cities that we can read in the Gospels and say that, hey, Jesus preached here and there and healed this person here and raised that person from the dead there and what have you. And he said, because God from heaven came to you in your towns and did all of these great things, you should have paid more attention, like we said last time, and you should have repented. Oh, the great evangelist is coming. Well, okay, fine, go see him, that's great. But God from heaven came. That's entirely different. And he performed these miracles. Why are you not, as he said, and I'll read it, repenting in sackcloth and ashes? Back when I was younger, and I'm referring to the movie, obviously, but when I was at LSU, sometimes we'd have a toga party. Okay, that's great. And for all of the wrong reasons, obviously. But Jesus is talking about a sackcloth party. What is sackcloth? It's cloth that they make sacks out of, or burlap sacks. If you've ever run across burlap and you touch it, it feels rough. How'd you like to make a shirt out of that and wear it and scratch? Well, what good is that? Well, it afflicts you. It would be very itchy and uncomfortable the entire time you had it on. And when you took it off, you'd still itch for days. And then there's ashes. To pour ashes on your head or to smear ashes on, you might understand that affliction, sackcloth, and ashes, a symbol of death. That's what he's talking about. Verse 26 through 24. And this is strong language, and this is what he said, and I'm not going to apologize for what he said. Then he began to upbraid or talk bad about the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works, the miracles would have you, the men that were raised from the dead, if those mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. If you're clever, or have a very long memory, you may remember something about Tyre and Sidon. The thing that happened at Tyre, it's very interesting that the prophecies and the invincibility that they had, yet according to the prophecies, they were destroyed. It's an interesting study. I don't have time to go over it. And anyhow, nobody really remembers Tyre, and who's heard of Sidon? Okay, fine, we don't know those cities, but we'll recognize another in a second. But he says, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. But then he echoes this idea, and thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. That's pretty strong, I suppose. For if the mighty works, again, the miracles and all of this stuff, if the mighty works had been done in you, in thee, if they had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Well, never heard of Tyre and Sidon, but hey, everybody's heard of Sodom. Everybody knows about Sodom and Gomorrah. But he said, not only would it have remained until this day and not been destroyed by fire and brimstone from heaven, he says, but I say unto you, the people of Capernaum, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And I'll expound on Sodom and that story a little bit. But it was a wicked, wicked, wicked city. And God poured his wrath from heaven on that city, Sodom and Gomorrah. But he says to the people, where he healed the sick and raised the dead and preached all these wonderful sermons and everything, and everybody went out every day to hear him and to watch as he healed the cripple or the blind person or whatever. He says, y'all should have repented. And I'm sure that many did. But there wasn't a sense of, hey, this is God coming from heaven to do these things, and how horrible are we? What hidden sins do we have in our hearts? The things that, hey, nobody wants to talk about that happened in our family, or the time when I went over and did that thing I shouldn't have done, or whatever the case, there should have been repentance. Because isn't that what John taught? Isn't that what John the Baptist taught? Bring forth fruits meet or fit for repentance, and confess your sins, and hey, come get baptized, what have you. God came from heaven and did all these things in the middle of the street, every day, for weeks or months or whatever the case. Every time he passed through, he would heal more people. But it never shook them to their core. It never brought them up short. They would not fully surrender their heart. And Jesus said that at the last day, at the judgment, the people of Sodom, who did all the horrible things we're about to talk about, are going to get off better and have an easier time than you, even though I preached in your streets every day, he said. I've got a theme here, if you'll figure it out these last few weeks. God is not interested in religion. He's not interested. He wants your heart. As you hear it preached from the Word of God, or read it yourself, or what have you, surrender your heart. Look to him. Get your eyes on him. And don't be distracted by religion or the things that we do in church. In some churches, it's like clockwork. Somebody will sing a song, and then they'll come through with the offering bucket, and the deacon will you know, have a little time at the front with the children or whatever. And then somebody else sings, and then the pastor preaches. And that's the way it is every single Sunday. And we get so used to, hey, man, I know the schedule. I've got it memorized. I know what's coming next. He wants your heart. And he wants you to focus on him and not the way that we do religion. And if you think I'm picking on your church, I'm not. I'm certainly not. But please, let's get our focus on Christ. Because, hey, they do it a different way, the same way every Sunday at the church down the street. Different from your church, but they have a habit of doing the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. And if you go across town to that other church, they do the same kinds of things. They focus on things and not on Christ. And again, I'm talking about that Jesus is coming back. And everybody's apple cart is going to be upset at that day. The things that we put all kind of stock in, that's all going to be gone when Jesus comes back. When he comes back from heaven. In Genesis 13, in Genesis 19, and even chapter 18, it gets kind of rough. It tells the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 13, verse 12 and 18, Abram, or Abraham, dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot, I guess his nephew, dwelled in the cities of the plain. And Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Back then you could travel 5 miles, 10 miles, however long it was. And you had to carry everything. I mean, maybe you could put it on the camel or something, but you had to travel and then rest and travel and rest. But he pitched his tent each night closer and closer to Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And again, you can go to chapter 18, and I won't, but you can read of the rape and perversion and homosexuality and all sorts of nasty things, perverted things, that today, as the years pass, are less offensive to us each and every year. And we're told, well, it's normal, or it's becoming more normal. God created Adam and Eve, and sex is supposed to be normal. But we know that we're being pushed. Our tent is being pushed and pitched closer and closer to perversion every time we turn around. Oh, preacher, you can't say it on the radio. Well, why not? I see it on the news. But today's world is absolutely upside down these last few years. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's good and holy and right for a man and woman to live together and raise children, and then their children raise children, etc., etc. It's good and right. But we're told today that there's something wrong with that. We have to change it all up. Well, guess what? No, we don't. No, we don't. We can read the Bible, study it, give our hearts to God, and live holy and righteous, such that our lives please God instead of conforming to this day and age. But in chapter 19, and I absolutely have to hurry, it will tell the story of the two angels that came to Sodom. And they came to Lot. And they came to rescue Lot, who was quite comfortable in an atmosphere of perversion. I mean, yes, when the angels came, he bowed and he showed them honor, but he lived in a city and was okay with living in a city that perversion happened every night. They said, "Hey, get out! Get out, Lot, for we will destroy this place," in verse 13, "because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And I'm here to tell you today, the world that we live in, where everything's backwards, God will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Make haste, escape from here. But it says that in verse 23, as he was leaving, as the sun was come up, he had finally made it in the Zoar. And in verse 24, the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire. And as usual, I have to take half my sermon and throw it on the floor. I just don't have time. But I'll leave Sodom with this. They were leaving. They got out, Lot and his family. They saw fire from heaven that destroyed those two cities. But Lot's wife looked back. She didn't want to leave the pleasures of sin. She didn't want to give up an accommodation to perversion. She looked back as they were fleeing, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. And in Luke 17, verse 32, Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." We have to leave in our hearts, we have to leave the sinful world that we live in and get our eyes on heaven and to be looking and waiting and watching for the return of Jesus Christ. I want to go to Luke chapter 17. I want to read a bunch of verses. I want to look at John chapter 3. You know, when Nicodemus asked Christ these questions, and his answer was, "Hey, you got to be born again. And if you can't be born again, or you won't give up your heart and turn to him, you won't see the kingdom of God. And when it's time for heaven, you won't go in." He says, "You got to be born again." If you think it's just about church attendance or being active in your church or attending prayer meetings or doing whatever, you're mistaken. It's not about doing things in church. It's not about keeping a bunch of church rules like we talked about. If you think that, you're mistaken. You must be born again. There must be a miracle in your heart that God does as you turn from sin. There must be. There must be. Because Jesus is coming back and he's going to judge the world, and you don't want to be found wanting. But Jesus closes out Matthew chapter 11 with compassion, with mercy. He said in verse 25 and 26, At this time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from the wise, or those that think they're wise and think they know, but you revealed them unto babies or children. And he says, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And the great invitation, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For the sinner that doesn't want anything to do with God, there's an invitation. Hey, come to him. Because remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The chapter is full of dire warnings and strong, strong words. But honestly, God loves you. Please heed the invitation to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, for he will give you rest. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.